You would need an invitation. You would need to have befriended all the Pashazadas, especially Halil Pasha's son, Zali. You would need to be liked and trusted well enough to be welcomed into the rivers of influence that flow around Halil Pasha. So you are his friend now, are you? Have you forgotten what he tried to do? Radu threw up his hands, then sat heavily on his bed. He has never spoken to me. I doubt he even realizes who I am. But because of his son, I am welcome in his home. I am invited to his gatherings. I can drift around Halil, I can listen. I can watch, I can trade false secrets for real ones. I can keep my finger on the pulse of life in that wretched man's plans. You were skulking in his hallway, like a thief, while I was sitting in his personal study, like the adored friend I am to his oft-forgotten middle son. But you never said anything.
I tried to.
You would not let me. It was true. Lada had been so absorbed in her misery, so jealous of how happy Radu seemed, that she had pushed him away that night he wanted to dance and talk to her. But that had been 4 weeks ago, and how could she have known he would be up to something like this? You! It does not seem like you. I've never thought you could do something like this. Radu stiffened. You may have been the one who stopped the dagger last time, but I am the one who will know before the dagger ever comes close to Mahmed. Lada shook her head in numb disbelief. Radu had come to the same conclusion she had. Halil Pasha was still a threat to Mahmed. And instead of running around in the dark, climbing walls, prowling aimlessly through a house, he had figured out a way to protect Mahmed. A way that Lada, for all her training and ferocity, could never accomplish. No wonder he had not involved her in his plans.
What can I do? She whispered.
Radu's voice was strained with exhaustion.
Stay out of my way.
Lada stumbled to the door, ignoring Radu's hastily called out apology. She crossed the thankfully empty hallways to her own room, locked the door behind herself, and curled up on her bed. She wanted to dream of Valachia. She failed at even that. 30. Radu loved dancing. The beat, the music, feeling it from his head to his toes as he twirled around the room in perfect synchronization with the other dancers. There was something achingly right about moving together, guided by sound. Everyone part of something bigger, giving up individuality to create something beautiful. He did not have to think or feel or be anything other than movement. It was almost like prayer. As one song blended into another, he danced with nearly every woman in the court. A flattering word, a charming smile, an assurance that they were his most graceful partner. And, of course, when handing them back to their husbands, an acknowledgement of what superior taste and fortune that man had to be deserving of the most stunning jewel in the room. It was so easy to be liked, and so pleasant, and so useful too, he thought, as he smiled and accepted an invitation from Halil Pasha's son, Salih, to join him for a private supper. Distractions were many and easy to come by. Most of the time, Radu was able to reduce his desperation to talk to Mahmed. To be near him, to be reassured that he would still be part of Mahmed's new life as a husband and a father. If he had enough to do, he could turn his thoughts of Mahmed from the loudest bleating trumpet to the softest whispering flute. A woman with a full mouth and a face that shone as soft and sweet as the moon smiled at Radu from across the room. She was young, and though he did not recognize her, there was something familiar about her. He crossed to her, bowing.
You do not remember me, she said.
I should be flogged for forgetting such a face. She laughed.
Your words are as sweet as honey, and as lacking in substance. I am Nazira, Kamal's sister.
Radu straightened, looking around in excitement.
Is Kamal here?
No, he hates the capital. I am here with my uncle, and only for tonight.
I wanted to see this.
She gestured to the room, the glittering decadence.
Ah, Disappointment tugged Radu's spirits down. He had long wanted to thank Kumal for his kindness during such a terrible time, for teaching him to pray when he had nothing else. Bowing again, he held out his hand. "Would you like to dance?" She nodded, and they joined the dancers. Radu kept Mahmed's enclosure in view, watching from the corner of his eye, wondering if Mahmed saw him and wished he could join the revelries instead of sitting. Nazira danced prettily, and at the end she thanked him with a secret smile. Radu saw that she danced with no one else after, instead staying close to a wizened old woman. He was about to join Salih and several of the sons of prominent pashas when he noticed the one spot of stillness in the enormous room. Lada slumped against a wall near a towering pair of gilded doors. Beneath her dress, Radu saw that she wore not her favorite Yanacheri boots, but a pair of beautifully embroidered slippers. She did not look like she was secretly hoping to kill someone. She did not look like she was hoping for anything. She looked like Radu had felt when he saw Mahmed's son. A knife of pity stabbed into his side. He had tried to soften his words that night a week ago when she had nearly ruined everything by being caught spying, but she had fled before he could make her feel better. And part of him, a compact dark lump of meanness buried deep in his chest, had been glad. Let her feel useless. Let her feel like a failure. Let her see that he could do things she never could. Seeing her now, though, engulfed him in a rush of empathy. He crossed the room, exchanging greetings and promises to dance later, until he reached her. Lada? She blinked, eyes slowly focusing on him. What? She said, her tone flat and lacking any inflection. Would you like to dance? Her forehead shifted, expression sharpening with a hint of the old Lada. Do you hate me that much? He laughed. It could be fun. Yes, I love humiliating myself in front of hundreds of strangers. You cannot be worse than Nebi Pasha's wife. She has all the grace of a pregnant sow. Lada snorted. Yes, and I have all the grace of a speared and dying boar. Even a speared and dying boar can still kill a man. This finally teased a smile, though she quickly bit it back. Come on. Remember how we used to dance when we were little? I remember wrestling you to the ground and pushing your face into the hearth's ashes. Exactly. And remember all the time you spent training with the Yanacheris? Yes, training to fight. Fighting is just like dancing. Only I end up with marginally fewer bruises. Radu held out his hand and, to his surprise and delight, she took it. Lada was, in truth, an oddly graceful dancer. While there was nothing beautiful about her movements, there was a flow and power to them that was arresting to watch. Her sense of her own body moving through space was instinctive, well honed after so many years of training to fight. And if her expression looked as though she were plotting to murder her partner, well, Radu was used to that. He had missed it, actually. Moving in a circle with other dancers, they passed Nebi Pasha's wife. Radu levied a significant glance at her, then raised his eyebrows at Lada, who let out a loud bark of laughter, not quite muffled by the music. He barely managed to stifle his own laugh as they finished the dance. She leaned her head against his shoulder, still laughing. You were right. She does move like a pregnant sow. Radu nodded solemnly. There is a veritable farm's worth of dance partners here, and I have spun in circles with all of them. Tell me what kind of animal Huma is. A cat, with weak hips, too proud to give up mousing. She snickered, keeping her face hidden in his shoulder. And Halil Pasha's wife? An ill-tempered goose, with flapping flat feet. What of Mahmed's dear bride? What animal is she? Yes, a low voice interrupted. What is my bride? Lada jerked, jumping away from Radu. They both stared at the floor rather than meet Mahmed's eyes. This was the first time Radu had been close to him at any of the celebrations. Mahmed was always separated by a draped cloth or by a ring of dignitaries, always at the side of Siti Hatun. We must offer our congratulations on your wedding, Radu said.
Stop. Radu looked up, surprised by Mahmed's sharp tone.
Please, not you two. I cannot stand any more of this. He waved his hand to encompass the room and everyone in it. Do not tell me this nightmare has stolen my only two friends as well.
Lada said nothing, looking at Mahmed with eyes that burned darker than the coal braziers.
Radu chanced a small smile. Perhaps she is a songbird, Mahmed snorted in derision. Clearly you have not heard her voice if you think that.
No, my precious bride is like a cornered mouse, trembling and squeaking and utterly worthless.
Perhaps the meanness in Radu's chest had not been extinguished after all, because he swelled with joy hearing this.
She is lovely, though, he offered, whether to combat his own pettiness or in hopes that Mahmed would contradict him. He did not know.
She is a waste of air. Mahmed rolled his head from side to side, stretching an angry energy to his movements.
I want to dance.
Radu looked to the raised dais where Mahmed's bride still sat, forlorn. It looked as though she had been crying.
I do not think Siti Hatun wants to.
Not with her, Mahmed snapped. He held out his hand to Lada. Radu stared, noticing after a few seconds that Lada was doing the same. Only she did not look at Mahmed's proffered hand with confusion. She looked at it with rage.
Now, her voice trembled with the force of keeping it quiet. Now you want to dance? Now you want to speak with me?
The coals in her eyes had burst into flames. Radu took a knowing step back, but rather than striking, Lada turned on her heel and ran from the room.
What did I do? Mahmed asked, brows knit together.
Radu rubbed the back of his neck. He was not certain why Lada had reacted so strongly. But he had not had an opportunity to talk with Mahmed, and he would not waste it.
We saw you before we came here, at the harem.
Mahmed's expression revealed nothing.
With your child.
Mahmed's eyes fell shut, and he released a heavy breath.
Ah, yes, my son.
He put a hand on Radu's shoulder. All the greetings, all the dancing, all the friendly touches that pass from one person to another in conversation felt like a dream. Mahmed's touch was like waking up.
It is strange, is it not?
Radu lit up with relief. Mahmed understood how it felt when they were together.
It was normal. It was shared. They could...
I still forget that I am a father. A tiny exhalation escaped Radu's lips, carrying with it all of his false relief.
Yes, that is strange.
I look at the baby and he feels so foreign, like sleeping in a bed not my own. Mahmed's hand dropped from Radu's shoulder, and he lifted both palms up.
Still, as my father would say, it is my duty.
Like Siti Hatun?
Yes, like Siti Hatun. I will be happy when this is finally over, and we can go home and get back to how things were before.
Radu nodded. That was what he wanted too. That was the aching, the need, the wanting inside him. How things were before. With a brief nod, Mahmed strode away, his expression distracted. Radu watched him, always aware of where Mahmed was in the room, like he was of the sun in the sky. So when Mahmed slipped out a side door, as everyone's attention was focused on a poet beginning a recitation, only Radu saw. He knew Mahmed should not be alone, not ever. By the time Radu got through the door, he caught only a flash of Mahmed's purple cloak as his friend turned a corner. Radu had not been invited, and Mahmed probably needed a moment alone if he was sneaking off. So he followed. Quiet and at a distance. He was so intent on not losing sight of Mahmed and remaining invisible that he did not realize where Mahmed was going until he peered around a corner and saw him pounding on Lada's door.
Open it! Take yourself to the devil! We need to talk! I need nothing from you.
Mahmed put his head against the door and took a deep breath. When he spoke again, his voice was softer. Radu had to strain to hear it, as Lada, no doubt, had to do on the other side of the heavy wood door. I did not know about the baby until I returned, after I met you at the pool. And then I did not know how to tell you. I still do not. I have no idea how to feel about it. It is a duty. It is the same as sitting through endless councils, hearing the complaints of pashas and the petty disputes of Yanacheris and Spahis. Mehmed paused, as though listening to something, then shook his head. She is detestable. And the harem, it is not real, Lada. I visit, and they flit about like phantoms, like paintings. None of them are real to me. He paused again, placing a hand flat against the door. You are the only real thing in my life. Radu gasped, with the sheer physical pain the words sent through him. But the sound of his agony was covered by that of the door opening. Mehmed reached in and pulled Lada out to him, and then his mouth was on hers and his hands were in her hair, and he was holding her so tightly, and they stumbled back into Lada's room and closed the door. Radu tripped forward, feet dragging, until he stood outside the room. He wanted to be inside it. He wanted to be the only real thing to Mehmed, just as Mehmed was the only real thing to him. He wanted... No, please, no. Yes, he wanted Mehmed to look at him the way he had looked at Lada. He wanted Mehmed to kiss him the way he had kissed Lada. He wanted to be Lada. No, he did not. He wanted to be himself, and he wanted Mehmed to love him for being himself. His question, the question of Mehmed, was finally answered, piercing him and leaving him shaking, silent on the floor. He did not want this answer. 31. Though Mehmed had to leave far too soon lest his absence be discovered, Lada could still feel the memory of his hands and lips. She did not know what it meant or what they had set in motion, but Huma had been right after all, because the way Mehmed looked at Lada as he left made her feel as powerful as she ever had. They would see each other again at a late evening party. Until then, the men were attending a bathhouse, and the women were meeting for a more intimate meal. Lada had not planned on going, but her room was too tight, just as her skin was too tight. She had to do something, lest she burst. The last place she wanted to be was around Nikolai and the Yanacheris, and Radu was not in his chambers. So she found the gathering, slipping in with her secret wrapped around her as securely as armor. When she saw Siti Hatun at the head of the table, tiny and perfect and perfectly miserable, Lada nearly laughed. Her rival was diminished, unworthy of even scorn. Lada saw a familiar face and took a cushion beside Mara. Mara frowned thoughtfully, and then she smiled. Ladislav, you have grown. This afternoon alone, Lada felt she had grown by leagues. She carefully tucked the corners of her mouth back down around her memories. Yes. You look well. Where is Halima? Looking around, Lada did not find her. The room's doors were attended by eunuchs, with most of Murad's wives and concubines present. A twist in her stomach demanded Lada remember that it was very likely at least a few of the women here were Mehmed's. No, she refused to think about it. If they were here, they were like Siti Hatun, duties forced upon him. Not a choice, not a desire, not like her. Mara smiled, though it was mirthless. Did you not hear? Halima had a child not 2 months ago. She is still in confinement. Lada could not help the gasp that escaped her. Murad's new son is Halima's. Oh, yes. She was violently ill all 9 months of carrying him, and then nearly died giving birth. He is the ugliest infant I have ever laid eyes on. He never stops crying. Halima has never been happier. Larda snorted a brief laugh. Poor, happy Halima. And you? Are you happy? Mara took a sip of wine. Most of the women around them had none, but she made no secret of drinking it. Serbia is peaceful. My husband neither requests nor demands my presence. I am quite well. You are, too. Larda blushed, looking down and toying with her plate. Did she wear Mehmed's touch on her skin so obviously that others could see it? What do you mean? You are not the same miserable, terrified creature you were when last we met. You have stopped fighting. Mara's words struck deep, and Larda struggled to disagree. But it was true. Larda let her eyes rest on the empty space around City Hatun, the way all the women around them talked to her without saying anything. Even surrounded, City Hatun was alone. She had been bartered by her father. Larda quickly tamped down a brief swell of pity. That was what fathers did. It was up to daughters to figure out survival by any means possible. She turned back to Mara and spoke the truth. I stopped knowing what to fight against. Mara lifted her glass. May you find some measure of happiness in your surrender. She drank deeply. May we all. Tortoises with large candles melting onto their backs made a circuit through the garden. Pools of light crept slowly along to illuminate different groups of people, like snatches of conversations overheard in passing. The flowers surrounding them, black in the night, would suddenly bloom into brilliant color before slipping back into silhouette. As one of the tortoises labored past her, Larda felt as though she were rising from the darkness, a burning brand. She burned far more brightly inside, though, knowing Mehmed was nearby. She had partaken of too much wine at dinner, troubled by Mara's questioning. She did not want questions tonight. She wanted something simple, something physical, something real. A song began, the singer telling the tale of Ferhat and Shirin. Standing alone, motionless as a mountain, Larda let the candle tease her location. She kept her eyes fixed on the spot where she could feel Mehmed watching her, even if she could no longer see him. Then, a smile pulling her lips at the memory of feeling his, she stepped into the shadows, backing deeper into the garden's secret corners where the tortoises had not yet made their leisurely trek. Even the music was muted by the dark, drifting in snatches, twisted and distorted by the wind into mere rumors of a tune. She felt alone. It was no longer a feeling of desperation, but rather one of anticipation. Mehmed would leave the pavilion he shared with City Hatun and find her. She knew it down to her toes. It was foolish and reckless, and that made it better. Larda wanted no careful thoughts of the future. Tonight, the future was only as long as it took him to follow her. She found a sheltered spot under a tree with branches arching overhead to create a roof, and tucked herself against its trunk, relishing the feel of the bark against her skin. As much as she used her body as a tool, she had never truly appreciated skin before. Larda, Mehmed called, his voice a rough whisper carried on the heavy night air and trailed by the scent of broken flowers. She could see him, backlit by the distant garden party. He turned one way, then the other, searching. A giddy thrill went through her, seeing him desperate to find her. The memory of the last few weeks was as sharp on her tongue as the taste of him, and so she said nothing. Let him wait, let him search, let him be alone. She would go to him when she chose to, just as earlier in her bedroom she had let him touch her only where she allowed. But his head turned in her direction, and he walked forward, steps tentative, posture searching. He reached out and found her face without fail.
How do you know where I was?
She asked, disappointed and thrilled in equal measure. Mahmed's laugh was a silent exhalation.
This is the best area of the garden, tactically. Your back is protected, but you have an open view of everything going on.
While remaining hidden, of course you are here.
Lada's scowl at being predictable was erased as Mahmed's mouth met hers with greedy intensity. He pushed his body against hers, pressing her back into the tree. She grabbed his shoulders and spun him around, pinning him there. He smiled against her mouth, and she bit his bottom lip hard enough that he startled. He twisted his fingers in her hair, pulling her in tighter, his mouth leaving hers and finding her neck. Everywhere he touched burned with feverish heat, aching and tender. He put his hands around her wrists, then paused.
"What are these?"
he murmured against her neck, feeling at the leather braces beneath her sleeves. Her heartbeat was almost as loud as her breathing, and she closed her eyes to hold her breath and focus on. There was a noise behind her.
She smashed a hand over Mahmed's mouth, muffling his own heavy breathing. Turning so her back was pressed against him, she squinted out into the night.
A shadowy figure crept toward them. He wore no Yanacheri cap. A predatory angle to his body eliminated his being a servant. Servants walked with submissive, downturned lines.
This man prowled with hands held at the ready. An errant ray of light flashed like a beacon off something metal in one of those hands.
Lada slipped both daggers free of their sheaths. The hunter was directly in front of them, leaning forward in an attempt to see into the deeper darkness beneath the tree. Lada leaped out, one arm blocking the hand that held a weapon, her other dagger finding its goal with a wet whisper of success. The hunter was still for one eternal moment. Then, with an agonized scream escaping his lips into the night, he crumpled to the ground. Lada stood over him, as his life pulsed frantically from his neck, two twitches and then nothing, where once a man had been. It was only when Lada realized she could see well enough to notice the deep red of her target's blood that she looked up. An enterprising tortoise had finally made its way to the depths of the garden. She was illuminated, dagger winking playfully, hand covered in blood. Mahmed standing behind her.
Lada? He asked.
His eyes were fixed on the body. But the rest of the garden party, including Murad himself, stared in horror right at her.
32.
Are you certain you feel well?
Salih leaned forward intently. His eyes, which turned down at either corner and made him appear perpetually mournful, wrinkled in concern. He was 18, only a couple of years older than Radu, kind and anxious and always eager to be in Radu's company. Radu nodded, unable to shake off his daze. Mahmed's lips, Mahmed's hands, Mahmed's heart. Tangled up in Lada, not in him. Lada, who could not love someone else if her life depended on it. Lada, who had taken all their father's attention, who had preferred Bogdan over her own brother. Lada, who had abandoned Radu to beatings and lonesomeness his whole life. Lada, who was cold and vicious and loyal only to herself. Lada, who was not even beautiful.
"Am I not handsome?"
Radu blurted out, the words spilling like tears from his mouth. Salih's eyebrows raised, making his expression almost comical with its mix of sorrow and surprise.
You are. Am I not deserving of love?
The surprise in Salih's face shifted to something raw and terrified.
You are.
Radu dropped his head. What did he know of love? This was not a love that he had heard of. This was not a love sung about by poets, celebrated in stories. This was something else, something he had no words for. And who could he speak to? Who could tell him how to love another man? Or how to stop? Trembling, Salih's stubby fingers alighted on his shoulder.
Radu, a servant knocked on the doorframe, interrupting them.
Radu looked up wearily to see the thin, greasy boy he had paid yesterday. Yesterday, when he still cared about intrigue, when he still viewed himself as Mahmed's protector. Yesterday, before the world ended.
Salih, there is someone to see you.
The servant bowed, waiting. Salih's face creased in consternation.
I am sorry. I... Go, Radu said, eyes on the floor.
Their plates of food, his barely touched, sat cold and abandoned. I will wait for you in your father's study.
He has a book on the Prophet, peace be upon him, that I wanted to look at. I will hurry.
As soon as Salih had left the room, Radu dragged himself down the hall, steps as heavy and leaden as the beating of his heart. He did not feel daring or clever. His efforts here would be for naught, just as his love for Mahmed, just as his life. He did not bother closing the door behind him. He slowly pulled out the chair at the elaborate wood desk, the top of which was inlaid with patterns of lighter wood and whorls of pearl. What did he think he would find, anyhow? None of it mattered. He really should look for a book on the Prophet, peace be upon him. God was the only thing left to Radu, the only thing he could not lose, the only thing Lada could not take from him. He pushed to stand up, knee-jerking awkwardly beneath the desk, slamming against it. A curse stopped halfway from his lips. Something had shifted. He got down on the floor and looked up at the bottom of the desk. A false panel, jarred loose by his knee, hinted at something within. Radu eased it free and pulled out a thick sheaf of parchments. They were written in Latin, dense script, neatly marching down each page. He scanned as quickly as he could, his despair forgotten. Most of the top letter was about a man named Orhan. A claim, an allowance. It meant nothing to Radu, but he tucked the information away. He flipped through the pages, stopping with a shock at the end of a short missive. It was signed on behalf of Constantine the 11th, the Emperor of Constantinople. Footsteps from down the hall set him panicking. He shoved the letters back into the hidden compartment, then slid the panel into place. It failed to line up exactly, but he was out of time. He threw himself across the room and stood in front of one of the book displays, trying to hide his guilty countenance. The heavy door swung shut, and he did not dare turn around. If he never turned around, he would never have to see that he had been discovered. A hand came onto his shoulder, not heavy and violent, but gentle. Radu, Salih said, his voice as tentative as his touch. Radu turned around with a shaking breath and a falsely bright smile painted on his face. Salih was standing close, too close, only one of those trembling breaths away. Before Radu could form a question, his mouth was covered by Salih's. Radu tensed, shocked and confused by this attack. Salih's hands gripped his waist, pulling him closer, mouth desperate and hungry against his own. Finally, Radu's panic-soaked brain processed what was happening. He lifted his own hands, unsure what to do with them. He put them on Salih's shoulders and pushed him back. Salih met his eyes with a desperation Radu felt to his core. The desire there was raw and so obvious it hurt. This is what Lazar had seen when Radu looked at Mahmed. A wave of humiliation and despair washed over him. Everyone had to know. If Radu was this obvious, surely Mahmed knew how he felt, knew what he was, even before Radu had. Lada must know, too. Rage flared up, eating away at his humiliation. He narrowed his eyes, refocusing on Salih in front of him. Sad, lonely Salih. Salih, who wanted him. He brought his lips to Salih's with a ferocity that bruised his mouth against Salih's teeth. Salih opened his lips with a gasp as Radu grabbed the back of his head, sliding his fingers beneath Salih's turban to knot them in his hair. Salih pawed at Radu's tunic, tugging on the sash around his waist. He pulled Radu's tunic up and ran his hand from Radu's stomach to his chest. Radu did not know if this was desire or anger or disgust
or some combination of the three. He hated Salih for wanting him, hated himself for liking it, hated Mahmed, and most of all, Lada. He kissed Salih harder. The handle to the door clicked, and Salih jumped away from Radu, terror on his face. Radu turned to the shelf behind him and pulled out a book at random, opening to the middle. An illuminated page in artful Arabic script, the edges leafed with gold, blurred in front of him. "Salih?" a deep voice lined with disapproval asked. "What are you doing in here?" Radu glanced back to see Halil Pasha. The older man was out of breath and sweating. He glanced once toward the desk reflexively, then looked back at his son. "We were looking for a book," Salih said. Halil Pasha finally noticed Radu. He took in everything, realization moving slowly across his face as his lip curled in disgust. Radu's out-of-place tunic, Salih's raw and red mouth. Radu felt as dirty as he ever had, the evidence of his manipulation of Salih written all over both of them.
"This is my private study," Halil Pasha growled.
"I know, I am sorry. I thought you were at the garden reception. Is it over so early?"
Halil Pasha waved a hand dismissively, but his tone was strained.
"There was a murder. Some whore of Mahmed's killed one of the guests."
Radu dropped the book. Halil Pasha glared at him, but Radu could not react how he was supposed to. There could be no other woman there who would kill someone. No one but Lada.
"Wait. I know you."
Halil Pasha's eyes narrowed as he finally looked at Radu's face instead of merely registering his guilt.
"You have grown. You were Mahmed's friend. When he was Sultan," the realization finished clicking into place.
"Your sister.
I remember her now."
Radu swallowed.
"I must go. My apologies for interrupting your night."
Radu dipped his head, not looking at Salih, and fled. He went to Lada's room first, but it was empty. The vast hallways of the palace were empty as well, ominous with their lack of activity. Radu turned a corner, heading for Mahmed's chambers, when he nearly ran into Lazar. He grabbed the soldier's arm.
"Where is Lada? What happened?"
Lazar frowned.
"She is in a lot of trouble. You should stay out of it."
"Where?"
he sighed.
"Come with me."
They hurried down the hallways until they reached one of the rooms that, 2 days before, had been overflowing with food and drink and light. Now, it held a trial. Lada stood, straight and solid in defiance, in one corner. Murad, surrounded by several guards, stood at the other end of the room, nodding as an enraged man dressed in Italian finery screamed and gesticulated in Lada's direction. Mahmed stood in the center, watching his father with a mixture of veiled fear and simmering rage. To anyone who did not know him, it would have appeared he was merely bored, but Radu knew every expression, every change of his face. Radu's stomach turned, and he crossed his arms over his chest as though he could keep his heart from eating itself with bitterness and loathing. Lazar put a hand on his shoulder.
"We should go," he whispered. "This is a dangerous time to draw attention to yourself."
"Not yet." Radu slid along the wall, disappearing into the milling crowds of whispering people. It looked as though most of the wedding party was here, waiting to see how the evening's unexpected excitement would play out. Lada was alone. The hem of her skirts was stained a rusty dark brown. One of her hands, too, bore the proof of her guilt. She made no attempt to hide it or rub the dried blood away. Instead, she stared steadily out at the room, looking as though she would like to continue the work of killing as soon as possible. In her place, Radu knew he would have been a sobbing waste of a man. And he had seen her, the first time she had killed, how hollow and shaken she had been. He could see a hint of the same displacement in the way her eyes focused on nothing. But, as with Mahmed, no one who did not know her would realize how upset she was. Radu knew her. He understood. He still hated her.
Enough!
Marad waved his hand to cut off the increasingly loud discourse of the Italian.
Mahmed, tell me what happened.
He spoke through gritted teeth.
I do not know, father. Why were you in that part of the garden? I needed to breathe. Siti Hatun's perfume turns my stomach.
There was a ripple through the crowd as various people reacted to Mahmed's cruelty toward his bride. Murad's eyebrows descended lower.
And why was she in that part of the garden?
Mahmed's lips twitched tighter, and he raised his eyebrows in a challenge. There was a sudden intake of breath, as everyone in the room came to the same conclusion. Murad's face purpled with rage. He stalked across the room to stand in front of Lada. Several inches taller, he loomed over her. She did not move.
What were you doing that deep in the garden?
Radu wondered why Murad would direct his anger toward Lada and not Mahmed, when it was his son who was embarrassing him. Radu bitterly wanted the truth, even as he desperately wished for something else. Lada, however, said simply, Following Mahmed.
And why would you do that?
To protect him.
At his own wedding party. What harm did you think could befall him?
She finally changed her stony expression, raising a single eyebrow in disgust. A knife in the dark. The exact harm I prevented.
We found no knife on the man you killed,
Mahmed spoke.
Several people got to the body before the Yanacheri guards did. Anyone could have removed the weapon.
Murad turned toward Mahmed.
Did the man attack you?
He was looking for me.
And no one could have been looking for you at your own party, with anything other than murderous intentions.
I am not that popular, Mahmed answered, his voice dry.
Murad's face turned a deeper shade. He jabbed a finger toward Lada.
Why did you kill that man?
I saw him stalking Mahmed. I saw a glint of metal in the darkness. I acted without hesitation to protect Mahmed, just as I have done before.
Murad tilted his head. What do you mean?
Radu cringed at her error and saw Lada blanch. The attempt on Mahmed's life during his time as Sultan was secret. She could not claim it now. She shook her head, stammered.
I mean, just as I have been trained to.
Trained to?
I am a Yan, she stopped, as shocked by what she was about to say as everyone else was.
All the training in the world would not make her a Yanacheri, and it left her without a clear reason for taking it upon herself to kill a man.
You are not a Yanacheri. Who are you?
Lada looked at Murad with cold fury, her voice trembling with pain.
You do not remember.
Radu leaned heavily against the wall, a bitter laugh trapped in his throat. The man who had stolen them, the man they had lived in terror of all these years, the man who had destroyed their lives, did not even remember them. The secret to their survival, then, revealed. Not Mahmed, not the grace of God, but rather an oversight by a man who could not be bothered to keep track of them.
I know who she is.
The crowd parted to let Halil Pasha through. He looked around, and Radu knew whom he was searching for. He shifted, and Lazar casually stepped in front of him, blocking him from Halil Pasha's view.
She is Ladislav Dragula, daughter of Vlad, the treacherous Vaivode of Valachia, the treaty breaker. Was it not part of the terms of his princedom that he maintained loyalties to you, in exchange for the lives of his children?
Mahmed stepped forward.
That is not at issue here.
We are talking of the attempt on my...
Halil Pasha waved a dismissive hand and continued talking.
How many times now has Valahia gone against our interests? Should we not take this opportunity to remind Vlad of the consequences of disloyalty?
A cold clarity fell on Radu like the first frost of autumn. Just as it signaled the coming winter, he could see what was happening. Halil Pasha did not want further inquiries into the incident in the garden. He was distracting Murad by bringing up a larger issue, that of their father's betrayal. And in doing so, he was eliminating the girl who had twice disrupted what Radu suspected were Halil Pasha's own attempts at ensuring Mahmed never ruled. Lada was going to die tonight. Murad was examining her with narrowed eyes, the field of blackbirds where they had fought rising again in his memory. Now, no doubt, that memory was filled with Valachian soldiers who had defied him. And here was Lada, representing the whole country. Radu took a step nearer the door. He had gifts from Mahmed and others, things that could be sold. He had a horse and traveling clothes. He could slip into the night and disappear. He looked at Mahmed, who was looking at Lada. Only ever looking at Lada. Bitterness so heavy he could taste it, welled within Radu. And he turned to leave. But as he did, he caught a glimpse of Lada. Instead of seeing the girl Mahmed had chosen, instead of seeing the girl who had failed him time and again by never being what he needed her to be, he saw the same expression she wore that day so long ago when she crawled out on the ice to rescue him. At the time, he had thought it was anger. He saw now that it was terror and defiance in the face of her own all-consuming fear. He hung his head. She had ventured onto the ice for him to spite death, and he knew she would do it again without hesitation.
How could I have forgotten about you? Murad asked Lada, his voice balanced on a sword's edge between venom and amusement.
Radu stepped forward, breaking free of Lazar's grip, with a laugh, as though this were all an amusing game between friends.
It was just in time, as everyone looked at him and missed the snarl that deformed Lada's face and betrayed her increasingly murderous anger. With a flourish, Radu bowed deeply. My sultan, jewel of Anatolia, vessel of power, chosen and most beloved of God, it is an honor. I can assure you that we have never once forgotten about you.
He straightened, a benevolent smile lighting his face.
Indeed, if it is not impertinent, I have adopted the Yanacheri tradition and think of you as father. For years I have wanted this opportunity to thank you.
Murad's eyebrows lifted beneath his turban.
Thank me. For saving us, for educating us, bringing us out of the dark, and, most important, for bringing us to God. What are you talking about? Halil Pasha snapped.
My sister and I converted to Islam years ago. It has been the greatest source of light and joy in my life, and I would have been left in the darkness without the generosity of our father, the Sultan. I speak for both of us, of course.
Lada's face turned a deep, angry red.
Radu smiled at her, twitching his eyes narrower for a split second. If she messed this up, they would both die. Murad turned to Lada, and for a breathlessly terrifying second, she did nothing. Then, every muscle strained, she bowed her head in acknowledgement.
But what of their father? Halil Pasha's voice sounded like that of a child stamping its feet in rage.
Radu grinned.
You have not communicated with him since his betrayal 3 years ago?
Murad shook his head, expression still wary. This time, Radu let his laugh ring through the room, showering his delight on everyone listening.
Then he will have assumed us dead this whole time.
What a just punishment for the slithering infidel. I hope every day has been agony and every night a torment. Will you tell him now that we are alive, happy and settled in our home? Imagine how his heart will swell. And then you could inform him of our conversion, cutting his joyful heart right out. Radu clapped his hands together gleefully. I am sorry. I overstep. Of course, it is up to your magnificence to decide how to deal with that man. I am simply so grateful to finally have an opportunity to thank you myself for all you have given us. Your grace and benevolence have shaped my entire life. He bowed again, even deeper, then looked up reverently. Murad was smiling, and Mahmed looked relieved and grateful as he met Radu's eye. Radu dared not look at Lada and draw anyone's attention back to her. He needed them to focus on him, on his grand performance. But it was an easy one to act, because while he hated Murad, he did consider this home, and he had converted with Mola Gurana as his witness. Islam had given him a home, given him a place to belong, given him peace where nothing else had. Well, almost nothing else. He looked away from Mahmed. He still had God. Murad's smile was thoughtful, not cruel. I will not forget you again. It is the deepest honor imaginable to be remembered by you. Radu bowed yet again as Murad walked past him. Murad placed a hand on top of his head, then exited the room. Radu straightened, meeting Halil Pasha's calculating gaze. It would appear, Halil Pasha said, so quietly only Radu could hear, that the Sultan has entirely forgotten the matter of your sister murdering a guest at the party. Radu smiled knowingly, as though he and Halil Pasha shared the same concerns. He knew only a few things about Halil Pasha, and he would bring them all into play. Perhaps it is for the best that no one looks closely into what happened. The other man's voice grew wary. What do you mean? Simply that it is a wedding, a celebration. We should move past this unfortunate incident, pray for the poor man's soul, and anticipate the day when Mahmed once again returns to the countryside, far away and forgotten. With a grunt of what could have been assent, Halil Pasha swept from the room, followed by the remaining attendees, who were now certain that nothing of interest would happen. If any of them were concerned over the lack of resolution regarding the matter of the murdered man, no one mentioned it. Lada called Radu's name, brows furrowed, hands reaching out toward him. Mahmed looked toward Radu, waiting for him to join them and discuss what had happened. Radu turned and left. 33. Lada put on her boots with a sigh of relief. Their tenure here had been interminable. After last week's debacle, she had kept a low profile. Mahmed was constantly surrounded by guards. Perhaps Murad had not entirely forgotten that someone had tried to kill Mahmed. If that was, in fact, what had happened. Lada had been certain she had seen the flash of a weapon, but no one could identify the man, and the guest list had been conveniently misplaced. It was part of the reason the matter had been dropped. No one would claim the murdered man, which pointed to the fact that he should not have been there, whatever his purpose. But it remained that she had killed him before being sure that he was, in fact, after Mahmed. She frowned, tying a sash around her tunic. If the man was innocent, she was sorry. But she knew she would make the same choice again. What did that say about her? Leaving the rest of her things for servants to pack, she crossed the hall to Radu's room. He had kept the opposite of a low profile, suddenly becoming even more a darling of the court. Lada had not been able to so much as speak to him all week. No longer did he keep company with second sons and minor officials. At last night's feast, he had spent most of the night at Murad's side, paraded around like a long-lost son. Meanwhile, Lada had stood in the corner, and Mahmed had remained banished in his silken prison with wilting Siti Hatun. Lada pounded on Radu's door. He opened it, still in his bedclothes. "Hurry up, we leave in an hour. Back to Amasya, at last." She pushed past him and sat on his rumpled bed. "I will be so happy to have this nightmare behind us." Radu looked at her with an intensity she was unaccustomed to. Usually he smiled, or said something funny to deflect her bad moods. But now he stared expectantly and unkindly. Lada shifted on the bed, scowling. "You are the one who has been avoiding me. I was going to thank you. It was very well handled with Murad. But how dare you say I have converted to Islam? I could have killed you." It was the most she could bring herself to say, because in truth, she knew she would have been dead without Radu's brilliant intervention. She could muster some gratitude, but more than that, she was annoyed, angry, even jealous. Radu was in his element among these people, while Lada could not be further from hers. Radu's expression remained the same. Lada stood, throwing her hands in the air. "What do you want?"
"I know," he said.
"What do you know?"
"About you and Mahmed," he said, Mahmed's name as he always had, like a prayer. But this time it was laced with despair and longing.
Lada turned her head defensively, picking up a candle from its stand and playing with the flame.
"What do you think you know? You do not deserve him."
Slamming down the candle, Lada spun on Radu.
"Perhaps he does not deserve me. I ask for none of this. How can you judge me for finding some measure of happiness in—"
She stopped, searching her brother's face. It was there as plain as the stars in a cloudless night sky. Perhaps it had always been there. She sat back on the bed, all fight and fire extinguished. She had heard rumors of this type of thing, jokes and bawdy stories from Nikolai and the Yanacheris, about men who loved other men in the manner of a woman. It had never made sense to Lada, but then she had never loved anyone the way she knew her brother loved Mahmed. Had always loved him. With knife-sharp clarity, her own feelings of powerlessness and loneliness since being taken from Valachia rose within her breast. How, then, must it feel to want a someone as much as she wanted a something? And to know that someone would never want you. "I am sorry," she said, unmoving and emotionless, because she did not know how to express what she understood. Radu's anguish was palpable, choking her from across the room.
"You do not love him."
Lada shook her head. She did not know what she had with Mahmed, only that it buffered her against despair. She would not give that up.
"I care about him. You care about how he makes you feel. You cannot love him."
Radu was quivering, fists clenched, consumed with his feelings. This love would break him,
unless Lada broke him now. It would not be the first time she had allowed him to be beaten down in order to protect him.
She spoke with all the bitterness of the truth, each word a lash against Radu's heart.
"He will never love you. He will never look at you the way he looks at me. You cannot have this, Radu."
They locked eyes, neither moving. Finally, Radu slumped to the floor, long legs folded up to his chest, hands over his face.
"You have no love to give him, and I have no love he will accept. What are we supposed to do?"
Lada leaned forward, a hand outstretched. Then she curled it into a fist. She could not comfort him. could not fix this. He would need to be stronger. That was the only solution. Get up.